Good. Good. What a good time of worship. Joel, guys, thanks so much. That was just... did my soul good? And I guess it did all our souls good. So I have the joyous task this morning of continuing the series on the Holy Spirit who, and my dot, dot, dot is the Holy Spirit who comforts us in our suffering. I get all the good jobs around here. I think Job did as well. There's a verse in Job, man is born to trouble as surely as the sparks fly upwards. And I guess I feel a bit of a kind of Job this morning. It's been a strange journey getting to this morning because, you know, the whole area of suffering, the whole area of the Holy Spirit who comforts us, I mean, it's massive. I mean, we could spend hours, days, weeks exploring it. And I just didn't know where to go with it. So I've ended up in a place where I wasn't expecting, because I just think there's two particular things that God wants to say to us this morning. So it's not really a kind of theology of what suffering is or a theology of the Holy Spirit who comforts us in our suffering, but I think God just wants to come and do some comforting and maybe provoke us a bit. So I'm not going to say an awful lot because I actually want us to go into a time of, you know, bread and wine and to pray for each other. And for that to be the focus of our time, to pray for those of us who need comfort because we are suffering or we have war wounds from past times, and also for a bit of challenge for some of us as well. So this doesn't feel as if it's going to be terribly polished at all, so just bear with me. If you saw the mess of my notes, you would go, oh my word. So just bear with me as I just sort of take us into those couple of areas. I mean, as I say, I'm not going to do a theology around why do we suffer, except to say, you know, we are fallen people. We live in a fallen world surrounded by fallen people, and our suffering can be vastly complex. It can be as a consequence of other people's actions on us. It can be a consequence of actually being persecuted. That seems a very harsh word, but sometimes, you know, in simple ways, whether it's being bullied, any example can be our persecution. Sometimes we suffer because we're actually bearing each other's pain. As a body, we're called to suffer with each other, to bear each other's pain. We suffer because of sickness, ill health, whether that's to our physical body, to our minds, our hearts. Sometimes we suffer because it's our own foolishness, our own choices, our own decisions. And it's jolly hard work getting the kingship of Christ established on our hearts. Day in, day out, self really would like to reign there. And we suffer day in, day out as we actually put Christ Lord of our lives. There are many, many things that would lure us away, that tempt us very, very subtly to say, hey, this looks nicer. And it becomes all about us and our pleasures. Whereas God's way is the way actually of pain and suffering and letting go and letting God's kingdom live out in our lives. So it's very difficult sometimes to understand why we're suffering. There can be a myriad of explanations. For those of you who know me, you know that there's a sort of program running constantly in my mind that's going, is my neck okay? Is my shoulder okay? What about my mid-low back? What about my very low back? What about my knee? Or what about my ankle? I my GP just kind of laughs at me, and it's kind of like, you know, some of those things I can say are absolutely down to my foolishness, and some of those things are absolutely spiritual. You know, I know my ankle in Nazareth and tearing three ligaments was just a spiritual attack. And, you know, so that's just a little bit of me. And it's hard to know sometimes why we suffer. It can be for a myriad of reasons. And I don't really want to focus on the why we're suffering. Sometimes God gives us the answers to that. But I just really want to focus on what the Holy Spirit's maybe saying to some of us this morning in terms of bringing a word of comfort to us in our suffering. And I wasn't in Hosea 2 until Friday night, but somehow I ended up in Hosea chapter 2 on Friday night. And it just comes after a description of pain for Israel. And it's just a word that God brings to Israel. And just starting in verse 14, if you have your Bibles, that would be great. Hosea chapter 2, verse 14. Hosea comes after Daniel, comes after Ezekiel. To just, for those of you with paper versions, to help you along the way. This is God speaking to you. Therefore, I am going to allure you. I will lead you into the desert and speak comfortably or tenderly to you. There I will give you back your vineyards and make the valley of Achor a door of hope. There you will sing as in the days of your youth, as in the day you came out of Egypt. So God's here alluring us in our suffering, in our pain. And that word allure, it is about attracting us, it's about drawing us, but it's also about opening up space, making it roomy. And pain and suffering just tends to close us in. My computer program constantly checking my pain. Your computer program constantly focusing on what we are troubled by, what we're holding, what we're suffering. And it just takes us into that world where we close out God and we just focus on ourselves and our pain, our needs. And God comes and he's alluring us. He's making it roomy. He's leading us into the desert, which may sound like a hard place, but it's a place where there's kind of you and God and some sand and a bit of rock underneath. He's bringing us out into the desert in our suffering to help us focus on him and him alone, so that he can speak comfortably. Tenderly to us, with comfort to us. And that's the work the Holy Spirit wants to do in our lives. That's what he wants to do to some of us this morning. To speak comfortably to us. And that means speaking to our hearts, not just our minds. It's about speaking tenderly to our hearts. Because in our pain, he wants to give us back our vineyards. He wants to speak a message of restoration. He wants to restore our inheritance. What we've lost maybe in terms of our mental health, our emotional well-being, friendships, might be possessions. He's here to restore. What have you lost in your suffering? That the Holy Spirit is here speaking a word of comfort. Because God will make the valley of Achor a door of hope. Those of you who aren't too tuned in on the valley of Achor, that was where Achan and his family were killed. That was at the time just after the Israelites had, through Joshua's leadership, come to the promised land. And they had brought down the walls of Jericho with such triumph. And God's word had been not to take anything for their own possession, but it was all to be for God's possession. And God had said that he would not bring success to Israel if they did take anything. And so their next exploit was at Ai, and they failed miserably. And it was because Achan had stolen some silver and some other plunder. And that had to be painfully exposed. And Achan was killed in the valley of Achor, and that means the valley of trouble, the valley of pain. And it's in your valley of pain, your valley of trouble today, that there's a door, there's a gateway of hope. And suffering is our gateway. It's God's megaphone. It leads us to a place of hope, a place of expectation, because our feet are on the rock. And there we will sing a song. We will sing a new song to him who sits on the throne. We will sing, "You are my everything, and I will adore you." God brings us through our suffering into hope, to that place of worship and surrender to him, where we say, "I give it to you, God. You are my God. I surrender my pain. I surrender these issues. I surrender my life. I surrender my throne to you." And singing is also about testifying to others about what God is doing in our lives. Then it goes on to say, "In that day, declares the Lord, you will call me my husband. You will no longer call me master." And it's through our suffering that he brings us to that more intimate relationship with him. He says, "In that day, I will make a covenant with the beasts of the field and the birds of the air and the creatures that move along the ground, bow and sword and battle I will abolish in the land so that all may lie down in safety. And he makes that covenant with us to bring us to a place of safety, of security in him. In verse 23, I will plant her for myself in the land. I will show my love to her. I will say, you are my people. And they will say, you are my God. And he just brings us to a place where we are planted, where we are secure in him, where we say, present tense, you are mine. And he says to us, you are mine. A place of being possessed and possessing God. Not to be confused by the pleasures of this world. And so I just sense that God needs to say something of that word of comfort this morning to allure some of you to that place where he can just speak with comfort to your heart, to break in and make it a roomy place, to make your pain, your suffering, a gateway out of trouble and into hope, where you will just adore your God, testify to him, that you would just know him as your husband. A place of deeper intimacy with him, where you know his security, his compassion, his love. So that was one of the things on my heart. The other thing is almost at the other end of the spectrum. A bit of a challenging thing to say. And just a sense that today, for a number of us, actually we don't know the way of suffering, the way of pain. It's the way of the cross, it's the way God chose. And for some of us, life's just about making it as easy and making it as comfortable as possible. And there's some very stark words in 2 Timothy 3. Just have a mental checklist about what's true for our day. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient of their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power, have nothing to do with them. And it's just the world we live in, where everyone is seeking the pleasures of this world. And it crowds our life in. There's nothing wrong with these examples individually, but when they crowd our life, sport, food, wine, getting your nails done, your wardrobe, coffee, whatever it is, simple things, simple pleasures. But they crowd our lives out. Whereas God's way isn't about the pleasures of this world. It's actually about making some different choices. Philippians 3. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain the resurrection from the dead. Sharing, the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings. You don't get bombarded with that option out there. And that's our choice, to share in the fellowship of Christ's sufferings. And that's a choice some of us need to make. Say, yeah, okay, God. My life's too much drawn towards ease, to the world's comfort. And actually, our choice needs to be about the fellowship of sharing his sufferings. Not just in bread and wine, but in our whole lifestyle. In the whole lifestyle of Christ, where he was rejected, where he was misunderstood. And when we make that choice, it actually brings joy. It strengthens our trust. We learn obedience, it produces endurance. We accomplish his purposes, and we can actually comfort others. I have this phrase with my friend Lynn about sometimes going overseas doing various stuff and how we suffer for Jesus. And the first time we were discussing it, it was about, oh gosh, suffering for Jesus in this accommodation I was staying in South Africa, and it was absolutely to die for. Accommodation and these people. So I kind of woke up the next morning in this double bed, you know, looking out, rolled up the blinds, and there, for any of you who know the area, there, just down the road was, you know, Cape Horn, if I got the right cape, and this massive bay and the mountains over, and this is me suffering for Jesus, you know. Then I went to Nazareth and I realized what suffering for Jesus was really about. You know, so I've now got it down to a fine list, you know, where I take out a mug, and I take out granola, and I take out a fitted sheet, and I take out a towel, and all these things to make my life easy. And I was out there for a week in June, and I thought, oh my word, this is just going to be absolutely miserable. This is going to be really suffering for Jesus, a whole week in this accommodation. And I knew I had a couple of nights on my own. And I thought, I have no laptop, I have no DVDs to watch, I have no music, I have nowhere to go, I have nobody to talk to. This is going to be absolutely miserable. I have to say, there were probably two of the happiest evenings in this year so far. Just me and God and the most basic accommodation. And yet, you know, God just brings us joy when we choose not the path of pleasure, but we choose his way. We surrender our lives. And yes, it can be a path that's not easy, that's not comfortable. But the Holy Spirit comforts us. He brings us joy. He produces endurance and character and hope. His grace is sufficient for us. And so the Holy Spirit comforts us in our suffering. He teaches us. He reminds us. He convicts us. He even intercedes for us, Romans 8. And he speaks comfortably to us. So this morning he's here just wanting to speak comfortably to those who are in pain. You're maybe in your own valley of Achor. And he's here to give that door to hope. But he's also here prodding, convicting those of us who choose a lifestyle of ease and comfort, maybe over choosing his way, the way of the cross. But do you know, we're here for a few years, and it's all about his glory. It's all about eternity. This will pass in an instant. You know, read the letters that Paul writes and his pain and his suffering. Oh my. But it's so transient. He is building something that is eternal in us, in bringing his kingdom and his purposes. So yes, it may mean a road of suffering and pain, but the Holy Spirit comforts us. Amen.